Well, good morning. 10:57, still morning, just barely. 10:57 a.m. on February the 3rd, the day after Groundhog's Day. I missed Imbolc. 17 minutes for the first mile. Not bad, not bad. I'll take it. I missed Groundhog Day, I can't believe it. When I looked up and I realized it, I've been sitting at the computer since about, I'm going to say about 4:30 in the morning. And I looked up and realized that not only hadn't I had, well, I did, I think I did have breakfast. But I hadn't had lunch. I was still in my pajamas. It was like 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the afternoon. And I'm thinking, what? What happened to that day? So, yeah, yesterday didn't happen. It was sort of a limbo day. I did call and talk to my brother and sister and talked about service for my other sister. My late sister, Lori, will be on Tuesday night. And I will not be attending. They will have a memorial service Tuesday because it's only appropriate. Give the people who are friends and family who will be attending a chance to say goodbye. And then later in the spring, when the ground thaws, there'll be an interment service. And I will fly home for that and help my brother. Carry her home. It's funny for you. You go along for, you know, a couple hours, all day, and then something like that will kind of catch you up underneath the ribs. And suddenly gets hard to see. So yeah, my cousins, a couple of my cousins are driving up from North Carolina to go, and some of them are listening. Hi, cousins. They're all really cool guys, I have to say. And not just because they're listening, even if they were listening. They are all really cool guys. I don't know them very well. It's one of the liabilities of having them move away at a young age. Some of them don't remember living in Maine, although they were born there. But they moved away and don't remember things that I take for granted. So it's fun that they've caught up with me on Facebook, that a couple of them listen to the podcast, that we're forging connections that never were, even though that seems odd to people who have large, extended, very close families. But in ways that weren't possible until very recently. So it's kind of neat. It's kind of fun. So yeah, today is kind of a family day where it's a low-key day. I suspect that by the time I get home, there will be laundry that needs tending. There will be the common things of the everyday that need attention. And not the least of which is that I'm pretty sure I have to make a run to the grocery store, or I won't have anything to fix for supper. Thinking chicken. I have a craving for roast chicken. I think that would be delicious. Such a beautiful day. Oh my, it's gorgeous. Sparrow chirping up a storm out there somewhere. It's 40 degrees. Sun is up. It's hot. It's my coat. I got my coat unzipped. and the sun beating on my jeans. Every time I take a step forward, I can feel the hot of the sun against my thighs and the jeans. It's very spring-like, despite the fact that we haven't really broken the back of winter here yet. It's sort of a taste of things to come. Although here on the Front Range, it's nothing like I'm sure it is in Maine. Frozen ground, cold, snow probably, with several more weeks of winter. I didn't hear what Punxsutawney Phil saw yesterday. I don't know if it's going to be 6 more weeks of winter or what, but in the pagan tradition, we're counting down to equinox now. So that's 6 weeks out, 7 weeks out, something like that. Which will fall in mid-April. Is that right? First of May. Such a funnel. So what I'm trying to do today is get things lined up and ready, get stuff so that tomorrow morning comes, I can do what I need to do on a particular schedule. Trying to look at and see what kind of schedule will make sense. Starting early in the day with writing and working is a good idea. I need to do some audio work mid-morning to get stuff recorded. That'll free up time later in the day for all the interruptions to happen without actually interrupting anything, because by then I'll have most of what I need to get done for the day taken care of. Now, I don't know if that's actually going to work, but that's what I'm thinking about. We'll see how it plays out when I wake up in the morning. One of my problems today is that I'm very tired. I feel very strung out, very wrung out. I suppose it's not too terribly surprising given the week that I've had, but it's still after the other, which is really all we can do. So, yeah, here I am, walking again. Walking along, I can feel my mouth smiling. I'm thinking about some of the old stories. There's stuff that stories about my sister that I can't share, that aren't mine to tell. And now that she's gone, will probably never be told, except quietly among family members, perhaps next spring. She had a funny bark kind of a laugh. I can't even begin to replicate it, but it was uniquely hers. I never heard anyone laugh quite like that before, and I wonder how true that is of laughs in general. We each have our own style, our own sound when we laugh. I can hear it. when I was there in October, maybe I recorded one of her last. I'll have to see. Maybe go back and listen if I can. One pull. She was funny. When I saw her in October, and as I've seen her over the years, aging very gracefully, her farm life didn't turn her to very large. She worked off every ounce of fat I think she ever put on. She was never a big girl to begin with. But it's funny, I see her face in my mind's eye as it was in October. And I can't really picture how it used to be when we were kids. I think I said before, I don't believe I even have a picture of her. Although I probably do. One of the things my mother did was to send me a scrapbook. Well, more precisely, I think it was Christmas before she died, maybe. I don't remember now exactly when it came, but I got this scrapbook that came one year, sort of out of the blue. And it had all these little keepsakes and mementos that obviously she'd maintained over the years. Stuff that didn't leave home when I did. And I left home at 17, so these things were all quite aged. My newspaper clippings of going out tuna fishing, or little arm patches that you would put on your coat for catching, that the state would hand out for catching trophy level codfish and haddock and pollock. And I think I had the whole set. I know I at least had one, or had a codfish one that was for codfish over 50 pounds, I think. I'd love to have a 50 pound codfish right now, I'll tell you. But there were pictures of us as kids. Or maybe there's a picture of my sister in there. I also have pictures of me. I have the negatives of me. But I don't have the actual pictures. There are no prints that I know of. But these are all large format, the old style box camera, large format photographs that I presume my grandmother, although it could have been my father, I suppose, took of my mother holding me as a baby. I've actually got one of those pictures somewhere that I've scanned, and I remember it being taken. And it's very strange because I can't have been more than a year or two old when that picture was taken, but I may remember very clearly when it was. I recognize the scene and know this had to have been that time. I don't know if there are any pictures of my sister Lori. I don't really have a picture of her like I do with her with a milk bucket in her hand coming up from the barn, their barn boots flopping, coat open. Sort of side-eye look she's got is given to me when she walks by. She's gonna slap me when she walks past. And then she laughs. Yeah, she had trouble with the state. They were very upset with her because she didn't have a stainless steel milk room. She was selling milk. And in Maine, you know, the milk commission is, you know, the dairy commission, those people are serious. Those people do good work and they make sure that things are sanitary for all the people who need to buy and trust the milk that they're buying. And so I understand the state's stake. I understand why they do it. I understand how it's important that everybody follow the same rules. But the reality is that for her and her three cows or four cows, spending $100,000 to outfit a stainless steel milk production room. That's not really economically viable. So she didn't. She stopped selling milk. Took down her signs. Didn't sell milk. Of course, all of her customers still knew the milk was there and where to find it. And they'd slip in and they'd grab a gallon of milk and leave a few bucks in the jar. Morning. They pick up a pound of her butter, leave a few bucks in the jar. Grab a dozen eggs. Or sometimes five dozen eggs. And leave a few bucks in the jar. Morning. Good morning. And that's how she did it. She didn't sell milk. She gave it away. People who wanted it could come and get it. People who irked her were the people who would come and take the milk and then take the money that was in the jar. And that was unfortunate. But I suppose there's always going to be those. I'll have to use that in a story somewhere. So yeah, it's a time of memory, it's a time of reflection, it's a time of consideration. It's a time for the family to come together, but this isn't the gathering that I will be joining. And do I wish that I were? Yeah, sort of. But flying now is such a trial. Do it when I need to. Keep my carbon footprint under control. As much as I would like to be there, it's not something that I need. I think my sister was a bit put out. And I'm not sure my brother really understands. But I, you know, I talked to them and I'll be there for the burial in the spring. I'll be there for the service then. 19 minutes a mile. 17 minutes for the first mile. So this last mile is pretty long. It means the podcast is going to be pretty long. So bonus minutes for all of you who didn't get any minutes yesterday. And thank you for your support and your good wishes and your understanding. But I am at the back gate, and tomorrow is another day. With any luck at all, I will talk to you then.